This morning I want to start with a thank you for all of you that are married. In a special way, those that are married within the sacrament of matrimony. What a great gift, what a great vocation. Congratulations for those who've had children. Again, another amazing gift and a miracle. For yourselves, your own family, our church, our school, and the community as a witness to what marriage is. So thank you. At the same time, let's remind ourselves that not everyone here is married. You know, I am in an odd spot. I'm in a spiritual marriage with the church, but I certainly don't have a physical wife, and I do not have children, and that is challenging. We also have kids here. They're not married. We even have, you know, brothers and sisters that are now widows or widowers that were married. What I want to share today is how we want to continue to walk with each other no matter where we are. As I hone into marriage and what it should be and what Jesus taught, to know that every one of us are sinful people and that we want to walk with each other to support each other with our own sins. And first, of course, with confession and our prayers to God Himself, our sins. But to know that, like me, I'm not here to judge you. God is our judge. Jesus Christ is the one that showed His mercy and compassion and love, and challenging people, but also forgiving them. So let's start at the beginning of the Bible, the second chapter in Genesis. Literally, if you have your Bible, you'd flip the first page, and there is chapter 2. There's actually two stories. The first chapter in Genesis is one story, if you will, of how God created the cosmos. And finishing up at the finest and the best part was us as humans. The second story was what we heard today. And that's so deep. You could just soak in the image and the poetry and what was happening with God. The Lord God said, "It is not good for the man, Adam, to be alone. I will make a suitable partner for him." That's a powerful line from God. It is not good for the man to be alone. That's true beyond just marriage. I know even married couples that can be alone. There's times I'm alone. There are times when people are in a whole crowd feeling alone. So the Lord God cast a deep sleep on the man. And while he was asleep, he took out one of his ribs and closed up its place with flesh. The Lord God then built up into a woman the rib that he had taken from the man. Again, don't look at a scientific book here or a historical book in our day. This story was thousands of years ago, before it was even written. But the image of what God did to create not just a man, not just a woman, but both. This one, as Adam said, "At last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. This one shall be called woman, for out of her man this one has been taken." And then the book continues saying how that is why a man leaves his father and mother and goes to his wife. The two became one flesh. And I'd add a little dot, dot, dot on that, although I can't and I won't change the words of the Bible. What happens when two become one? You can get another one, or two, or seven, or whoever. That's the beginning of marriage, that's the beginning of children, that's the beginning of parents. And once again, thank you for that vocation and call and miracles. Then we go to the gospel and we kind of get into a test situation, like always with the Pharisees against Jesus. I mean, I kind of laugh when I read about the Pharisees and the scribes. It's like, would you ever just stop and realize that you're being dominated every time with every question? So they brought out divorce. Something very important was the next line, a very quick line that I want you to know. They were testing him. So did the Pharisees really care about divorce? I don't think so. I don't think they did. They didn't understand it. They knew their law, which was from the bill that Moses gave. And they asked Jesus, you know, hey, we, according to the law, we can have divorce. Well, Jesus said, what did you know? And they said, well, Moses did. He gave a writing, a list of bill to be divorced. And Jesus said, wait a second. No, that was your hardened hearts. That's why Moses did that. Not because it was perfect or a good decision. Because you had hardened hearts. And then he said something very important for all of us. And this isn't to condemn or judge, but to know that this is what Jesus said about marriage. He said to them, whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her. And if she divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery. Personally, as a priest, to proclaim that in a world, in our society, our secularism that says, hey, we can do whatever we want. I believe what I believe. You can believe what you believe. Our own even natural, heaven, like earthly laws of divorce. I can't change that. Like, that's what Jesus said. So what do we do if you're in that position? If you have been divorced or remarried? First, please know that God loves you. Every one of us have sins. Every one of us have moments in the Bible. Sometimes I preach about it for others, and sometimes I'm preaching really to myself. Because Jesus always challenges us and looks for the truth. And be forgiven. And be coming back to the love of God. Second, to pray for each other. Because as this is one situation, there's many others of sinfulness. And we as brothers and sisters, everyone, I've said it before many times, we each are sinful people. So pray for each other. Walk with each other. Know that each of us in our sinfulness must pray and forgive and be with each other. I am not here to judge again. I'm not here to condemn. But I am here to help with divorce in our society. Our Catholic Church stands firm in our beliefs and our morality. And the church continues to believe in you, even if you are divorced, remarried. It's the church of God to receive you and love you. So if you have any conversations that you would like, with me, of course, I enjoy those conversations. And I'm not here as a physical doctor, but somewhat like a spiritual doctor to talk, to walk, and to go forward. Two last thoughts today. One was, it was amazing as a young pastor, I still am, how many people asked to be going through the annulment process. I don't think I preached it maybe once, maybe twice in the bulletin. And I've had over probably 6 to 8 people that have gone through that process. And that wasn't from me, that was the Holy Spirit to them. Because I never talked about it. And know that that is an opportunity to walk through this process. Know my prayers and support with that. It's not fun, but it can be very healing. And finally, wherever you are, those that have had children and the gift to have children, my final verse for me today is one of my favorites at all because of our school. When Jesus said, "Let the children come to me," this was right after he was talking about divorce and remarried, adultery, then he's talking about the kids. And thank you again for your children. And remember that Jesus Christ loves them and loves us to be like children. So think about these thoughts today and in your prayers. No matter where you are, whether it was the divorce part in your life or other sins in your life, to know that we're here together with our Savior and our King and our brother. And it's not to listen to God just wrathing and showing your condemnation. No, mercy, compassion, and love. So think of these today and this week.